from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Almost 2.5 million people have now seen a video that is considered scandalous among the right wing and the opponents of abortion. It's a heavily edited video from a hoax someone played on a woman that works for Planned Parenthood, a Planned Parenthood staffer. And they're actually eating lunch with her, and she's got salad and wine. Yes, she's actually eating a salad and drinking wine. Believe it or not, people who work for Planned Parenthood actually eat salad and drink wine on occasion. And they're talking about the procedure whereby Planned Parenthood, which does many, many good things to help women, it does everything from provide contraception to provide breast exams to provide all kinds of good services, including for 3% of their work, they do perform abortions. And she's describing how many women choose to donate the fetal tissue, which can and has been used in the past to save lives. And it's scandalous. Scandalous. How dare Planned Parenthood save lives? Fetal tissue has been used to make the polio vaccine. We know that saved a lot of lives. Also saved a lot of people from being crippled. We know it's used today to help people with Parkinson's. We know that fetal tissue is used for all kind of diagnostic tests. So we learn what amniocentesis shows so that for healthy babies, a woman can know what the blood test shows so she can determine what's going on with her child or even if it's an unhealthy fetus. We find out. If you're pro-choice, if you believe that a woman's body belongs to her, she should have the right to do with it what she will, and that particularly early stage abortion, there's no problem, no moral problem with it, you should have absolutely no problem with Planned Parenthood donating fetal tissue. You should support it because it saves lives. Now, if you're, quote, pro-life, unquote, if you believe that we should throw women in jail for having abortions, if you believe that we should force poor women against their will, say a poor 16-year-old, to have a child even though she doesn't want one, and basically consign both the child and mother to a life of poverty, a life of hell, when the mother could simply not have the baby at that time but have another baby 10 years later when she's 26 and has a job and has a husband and can provide for that child and give everyone a happy life. If you think that rape victims should have to bear the rapist seed, if you are against abortion, I guess this horrifies you, though I'm still not sure why. Because abortions are legal in America, and since they're happening anyway, why not use the tissue to save lives? Even if you think abortions are horrible, and women are committing murder, and they should all be executed at the chair for daring to basically have an early miscarriage, and you believe that executing those women because you think this is murder, shouldn't we still allow people's lives to be saved from it? You know, many of us choose to donate our organs when we die. I happen to think that's a particularly wonderful thing for people to do. If you sign your donor card on the back of your driver's license and say, if I die, I'm willing to give up my heart, my liver, my kidneys, maybe my corneas, so someone can breathe or get a new heart or can see, so a blind person can see, you recognize that even after you're gone, the world goes on and you want to help others. That is an incredibly generous thing to do. In fact, it may be the most generous thing you can do, because if you help someone while you're both alive, well, it's generous, but you may think that person can pay you back. But if you help someone after you're gone, it's the ultimate self-sacrifice. It's the ultimate gift, because you know you're not going to get paid back. It's probably to some anonymous person you've never even met. And yet you are helping humanity. What a glorious gift. And I don't hear anyone complaining when doctors over lunch, and they probably discuss this over lunch, talk about, well, we have to preserve the heart. And sometimes we have to cut open the chest of the corpse to get the heart, and just got to cut out those other things and sometimes even destroy the surrounding veins so that we can save that beating heart, so that we can save that child who needs a heart. Yep, in order to get the lungs, we collapse the diaphragm. In order to save the eye tissue, we cut right through the nose. Because even though we'd be offended by someone defiling a corpse, we'd absolutely be offended if someone took a corpse of our loved one and cut through the nose. That would be an awful thing. It's a crime. But if they're doing it because the person who died wanted it to be done in order to save someone else's life, or even just to save someone else's sight, we recognize that this is what the person who died wanted, to save others' lives. And we are not horrified. We see it as perfectly natural. In fact, we see it as an incredibly generous gift. So what's all this fuss about? I wish someone would explain it to me. Call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Planned Parenthood is treated like, oh my God, it's terrible. First of all, I want to be clear that the slander, and it is slander, to claim that Planned Parenthood is selling tissue, fetal tissue, is selling baby parts. It's false. It's absolutely false. They're donated under federal law. They're either going to be donated, or they're going to be thrown in the trash. I don't think women are having abortions to make a profit off their fetal tissue. First of all, they can't. It's illegal. The only money Planned Parenthood or anyone gets is the shipping charges between $30 and $100. And if you're telling, and I don't think the woman gets a kickback. If you're telling me that a woman will have an abortion, which costs hundreds of dollars to get $30, I'm going to say that I think you're delusional. So women are not having abortions to sell fetal tissue. But given that it will either be thrown in the trash can, or treated respectfully and buried, or used to save other people's lives, isn't the third option by far the most moral option? Once you get past the horror of abortion, the fact that we can use this tissue to save lives, to cure diseases, to help protect healthy fetuses, can be used to stop the tremors of Parkinson's, can be used to cure polio, can be used for all kinds of things we can't even imagine. Wouldn't we prefer that over throwing the tissue in the trash can? Wouldn't that be the most respectful way to treat a procedure that often is very difficult for women who choose to have it? Most women who have abortions, by the way, don't run in and say, hey, I can't wait to have my abortion today. Woohoo! Get this kid out of me. No, most women who have abortions go through a very, very careful thought process and say, you know what? I can't afford to have a child right now. Or I can't afford to take care of a child that has Down syndrome. Or this child has no father who wants to be part of the child's life. And I'm 15, and I think if I finish school first, I can have another child a little bit later on that will be cared for and loved and won't destroy that child and my life. I'm not saying abortion is the right choice all the time, or even most of the time. But if you accept that it's the right choice some of the time, and you accept that it is the woman's choice and not the government's choice, that it's the choice of the woman who has to suffer the consequences, And you recognize as well that because of the Republicans, children starve in America. Children lack health care in America. Children live in poverty in America. Children are homeless in America. And you recognize that the Republicans who care so much for the fetus or the embryo or the one-celled frozen egg and sperm that have joined together that can survive thousands of years, and they consider that more important than some real 16-year-old girl. If you understand that life is very, very hard for people who are poor and they don't provide for children and Medicaid is tiny and food stamps are even tinier, and you can understand why a poor woman wouldn't want to bring a child in this world, and you understand that Republicans oppose helping poor women succeed by giving them, for example, child care when they require them to do workfare, then you can understand why women choose to have abortions. Indeed, the best way, Republicans, if you don't like abortion, you want women to have fewer abortions, provide for poor mothers. Provide for their children. Give their children a chance to succeed in life, and women, poor women, won't have as many abortions, and most abortions are had by women who are poor, by women who don't feel they can take care of the child, by single mothers, by teenage mothers. But this whole idea of No, you had sex once. You need to be punished for the rest of your life because the condom broke, or because you were 15 and didn't know about contraception, or because you were stupid and drunk one night. You need to be punished for the rest of your life, and your child needs to be punished too. Don't wait to have a child. Don't plan your parenthood until things are set and the child can have a great life with two parents in the house, can have a great life with enough money to take care of the child till the mother or her partner has a job. No. We want to force you to suffer for the rest of your life, and we want kids to grow up in poverty, and we want them to grow up with no help until they end up in jail. Because that's what often happens with kids that grow up with very little love and very little support. And I wish adoption were the answer. It is for some. It is for some, but we don't have enough parents willing to take adopted children. We have to put kids in foster families where they're not wanted. It leads to whole generations of unwanted, unloved children. I was struck by the fact that the killer in Tennessee grew up in an abusive household. Apparently his father regularly abused both his mother and the kids. A violent household. I realize abortion is a very, very controversial topic. It's the one topic, by the way, that when I talk with people, I rarely persuade anyone on, because it's gut-wrenching, it's emotional. But when we recognize that it's a potential life rather than an actual life, that you can create a new one, that various potential lives are destroyed every month with women and for guys all the time. If there's going to be an abortion, why shouldn't we use fetal tissue to save people's lives? You go, Planned Parenthood. Maybe you shouldn't discuss it over salad and wine, but I fully support the donation of fetal tissue. If you disagree or if you agree, give me a call. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Got a conservative who casually misquotes the Bible and the Constitution? Send him to school with Mark Levin.
I'm your host, Mark Levin, talking about the expose by some radical anti-abortion organization that heavily edited clips that basically show a Planned Parenthood person casually talking about their donating fetal tissue, which has been used repeatedly to save lives and to prevent diseases. And no, they weren't selling it. That's what's implied. That, by the way, should be defamation, and I hope Planned Parenthood sues, because they don't sell the tissue. They simply allow people to donate it. They facilitate the donation, and they get some reimbursement of cost of shipping. That's not selling tissue. But the general principle that cadavers, that you can donate your body parts, that after death, that you can, a mother who has an abortion can donate fetal tissue, that you can give blood at the Red Cross, that's something I think is a good thing, isn't it? What's the controversy here? Well, maybe Tom from Massachusetts on line 5 will explain it to me. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hi, Mark. Good. Before I get into the subject,
yeah,
without any last names, I just want to say I'm the brother of your former boss, I believe, at Barney's, Peter Kay.
Oh, yes. Wonderful. He's, I won't say his last name because you didn't, but I love
for
Peter.
For a while, I've been meaning to call you.
Peter is a fantastic person.
I'm going to see him this weekend, so I'll tell him that I spoke to you.
Please do, and I'm really glad to have you call on the show. I appreciate that, Tom.
No problem.
I love
so,
Peter.
Of course,
he's
I'm
great.
Very pro-choice.
Right.
And so I'm on your side on this whole thing, but I feel like I came to something new because I've had some Facebook dialogues recently since this Planned Parenthood video aired. I've got a couple of old friends who are very much on the pro-life side of things, mm-hmm. and they shared it on Facebook, and I've had some uncomfortable and upsetting dialogues with them. And I've come to understand where they're at with this in a way that I never did before.
Okay.
And I feel like what it's going to mean to people like you and me is that we're going to need another strategy that we haven't employed yet. Because everything we're saying is very rational and logical and reasonable to me about, you know, organ donation and so on. But in fact, where these people are at is that they believe life begins at conception. And so they don't even believe in any forms of birth control. And they really do want women who have abortions or their medical professionals to go to jail, and that it is murder. They will call the sperm and egg cell, as soon as they are joined, that is a baby. That is a human being. That is a human life. And to terminate it in any way is murder.
Tom, so I'll tell you what. I'd like you to, and let me just raise these questions to you, and then we'll take a break, and I'll give you all the time after the break to answer them. But here's some of the questions I'd like you to ask your friends, and the ones I ask sort of avid pro-life people. If they believe someone should be in prison for life for murder, and most of us do, do they think these women should be in prison for life? And do they think 50 million women, which is the number of women in America who've had abortions, basically one in three women, one in six Americans, do they think all of them should go to prison for life? Another question to ask them is how they feel about frozen embryos. In other words, when an egg and a sperm meet in a fertility clinic and there are hundreds of thousands of frozen embryos that can last thousands of years, should they be forcibly implanted in women, much as we might try to save human hostages? That's another question for them. And a third question for them is, if they had a 16-year-old whose life could be saved with fetal tissue, would they be willing to tell that 16-year-old, I'm sorry, you're going to have to die because we have to protect, we have to throw away this fetal tissue? Those are the questions I would ask them. I'd like you to address that, Tom, when we come back.
Who says nerds can't be fun? It's Mark Levine.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the Planned Parenthood so-called expose, the video put out by some people who are strongly opposed to abortion, showing a Planned Parenthood doctor in between bites of salad and wine talking about donation of fetal tissue. And it's graphic, as donations of fetal tissue can be. And I imagine that people who are offended by that video would also be offended by very frank talk among surgeons talking about what they do when they cut through a chest or, dig into a skull in a brain operation. I'm on the line with Tom. Now, Tom, I've been very unfair to Tom. I want to acknowledge that at the outset because Tom is pro-choice. He's also the brother of a very good friend of mine, someone I worked for and with Barney Frank, a wonderful person. So I already like Tom because I like his brother so much. But Tom is saying that, you know, the pro-life people he talks to do consider it a life. And so I raised sort of three very difficult questions that I would pose to them. But I want to be clear, Tom, I consider these impossible questions. So, obviously in raising them to you, it's a little bit unfair since these aren't your views that you're stating. They're your friend's views. But I'll give you the floor to talk more about it.
Well, no, I want to hear that. But I have to say again, they're not impressed so far with stats and evidence. So what I was wondering about is whether we could find a way when we talk to them and argue with them to get at the emotional place where they seem to be and argue from that point of view. And I don't know how to do that.
Well, let's talk about a specific emotional place. You've got a 16-year-old with Parkinson's disease. Okay, Parkinson's disease, the drug to treat it, comes from fetal tissue. That's where it comes from. That's how they designed it. Are they saying they would prefer the 16-year-old suffer from a debilitating neuromuscular disease all of his or her life and possibly have his or her life shortened rather than use fetal tissue that would otherwise be thrown away? What's their moral point of view on that? I mean, that goes right to emotions, and I think all of us have sympathy for a child suffering from a debilitating disease, don't we?
Well, of course, but I think the answer of the people that I'm talking about would be something like, yes, because that's God's will.
Oh, well, that's, you know, once you get to God's will,
that's where it is.
Well, if you're going to get to God's will, then you got to start going all Bible on them, which I've done. You know, so do you eat pork? Do you eat shellfish?
I know. I've tried that, too. And boy, it just goes down this ridiculous slope, you know. You bring up Leviticus and all of that stuff. That's what you're talking about. And
I mean, abortion isn't even... It isn't even excluded in the Bible, by the way.
I can
tell you under Jewish tradition.
But murder is, unless they consider it.
Well, okay, but that's interpretation. I mean, I can tell you this under Jewish law.
Then they're having it both ways because you and I know that the Bible is subject to thousands, millions of interpretations.
That's right.
These people are claiming to be literalists, but still admitting that there are some things that the modern world, you know, doesn't do and that they can interpret. So.
Well, show
like
me the passage in the Bible where God prohibits abortions. Show me. Where is it? I don't know where it is. I haven't seen it.
I don't know. I'm not a Bible scholar.
Well, I mean, I know enough about the Bible to tell you there is no specific passage because...
it's similar to people who say that Jesus was against homosexuality.
Yeah. Now, there is a passage in Leviticus, to be fair, that prohibits male homosexuality. It's right before the passage that prohibits mixing different kinds of linen, because
that's the Old Testament.
Well, that's right. That's right. Jesus said nothing about homosexuality or abortion.
No, he didn't.
And Paul said it's better to marry than to burn. So it's better that basically all sex is evil, but if you're married, it's slightly less evil. You know, the point is that there's a whole bunch in the Bible that they choose to ignore. I mean, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament.
I need a John Fugelsang, someone who can be a Christian authority on the left.
Well, I'll tell you, I quote the Bible all the time. If it gets to the Bible, if we're out of the logical realm and they concede, first of all, if they concede that we're out of the legal realm and out of the logical realm and out of the rational realm and we're totally on the Bible.
I believe that is right.
If that's true, then the first question you ask them is, would you prefer the United States be a theocracy? Are you against the separation of church and state?
That's what they want.
Are you against the First Amendment? And they can say they are, but make them state so. I oppose the First Amendment to the Constitution. I prefer a Taliban-like theocracy. I support a religion. Because there are Christian states, just like there are Muslim states, and there's a Jewish state, although it's not a theocracy.
I actually think they've come to that, some of these people, and I would love that kind of honesty.
Well, exactly. Just ask them to be honest. You know what? It's perfectly fine for them to advocate under their First Amendment rights of free speech and say, I oppose the First Amendment, separation of church and state. I believe in a theocracy. Mm-hmm. I believe in forcing people. Just ask them these questions. Do you believe in forcing a non-Christian to adopt Christian doctrine? And maybe they do.
Yes.
You know, but now you're calling them out. You see, you're making clear that what they say has no matter in logic or law. If they're going total Bible on you, and then after you've done that, I still quote the Bible because the Bible does talk about saving lives. And the question is, if you could save a 16-year-old girl's life by ending a pregnancy early, okay?
Yeah.
Or the girl, the 16-year-old dies and the fetus comes to term, I assume if those are equal lives in dignity, you would say, well, then we don't care whether the 16-year-old lives or dies. You know, in fact, the fetus is going to live if the 16-year-old dies. Let the 16-year-old die. And I want to know if they'll tell that to a 16-year-old girl because...
Yeah, for them it would be all part of God's plan, whatever happens.
Well, exactly. You know? All part of God's plan, exactly. And frankly, if you really believe in that God's plan stuff, then you shouldn't be treating any disease. Because if God means that we get... Because strep throat will kill you. The streptococcus virus... which all of us, I've gotten strep throat, I've gotten penicillin, it goes away in a week, I got a sore throat, it's nothing. You just take your penicillin and you're fine. But before penicillin, strep throat will kill you. It's very dangerous. Maybe we shouldn't treat it.
That's true of polio vaccine and so on, right?
Exactly, but maybe we shouldn't fight polio. I mean, and you do get some people like that, the so-called Christian scientists, who actually believe that healing people is against God's will. And there are very, very few of those. And I give them credit for being consistent. They scare me, but they do get credit for consistency.
Well, but it gets bad when they apply it to children.
It's extremely bad, and I oppose them, of course.
Mark, I have to go, but thank you so much. I'll keep listening.
Sure, and I hope I've helped.
Enter an area where we're going to get cut off, and I don't want to do that. So thank you so much. I'll say hello to my brother for you.
Please do. And Tom, I hope I've given you and the listeners some insight as to how to frame the discussion in a way that they can make some of these people at least see another side.
I hope so, too. Thank you again.
Thank you for your call, Tom. Folks, if you want to call in and join the discussion, I always encourage it. Thank you, Tom, for your call. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. When conservatives attack, Mark Levin is ready, Constitution in hand. And here's our favorite lawyer now.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, talking about the so-called Planned Parenthood, so-called scandal that's so-called scaring everybody. You know, I get it if you're pro-life, quote-unquote, you oppose abortion. I happen to think the pro-life attitude has real logical problems. But I get the emotion of it. I really do get the emotion. This is a baby. You're killing babies. Well, that's how they see it. That's the point Tom Matthews is making. That's how they see it. That's how they see one sperm meeting one egg. Now, it's one cell at that time, right after conception. It's far smaller than the point of a pin. It has less brain capacity, way less, a million times less than your average housefly that most people don't mind swatting. But it has the potential to be a human life, that it does. It's true. A sperm and an egg have a potential to be a human life. Eggs every month, women discard potentials to be human lives. Men in their lives will discard billions. We don't always make lives. And here's the thing. An egg and a sperm do not make a life. Sorry. No. Hold on. Hold on, pro-lifers. Who I really hope call in, by the way, 888-488-MARK. I'm sorry none of you are calling in because I'd give you lots of time on the air. We could discuss this. I can understand it's hard to defend these principles logically. It's much easier with emotion. But I still encourage you to call in. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Here's the truth. An egg and a sperm are not sufficient in current modern science to create a human being. It cannot be done. It has never been done. Test tube babies They combine the egg and the sperm, but you know how they get the person out of it, the human being? They implant it in a mother. Women plus egg plus sperm equals human being. All three elements are required. You can take an egg and a sperm. You can freeze them for 1,000 years. But until you get that woman, it's just a frozen egg and sperm. That's all it is. Now, there may be a moment in science, 10, 20, 50, 100 years from now, when we can start growing babies Matrix style. You remember the Matrix, right? They have the little babies and the little, pods. And the moment we can do that, and of course in the Matrix it's a pretty evil thing, but the moment we can do that without the woman, the moment an egg and a sperm can create a life without a woman, I will on that day oppose abortion. Now, I might support freezing it. And I don't know, I think people should have to pay for the freezing. Not necessarily the mother, maybe all the people who want to save, who consider those that egg and sperm valuable. Though, honestly, if the egg and sperm together are valuable, why shouldn't we save every egg and every sperm? Oh, maybe because there's trillions and trillions and trillions and we don't have the capability to save them all. Because we can combine any egg and any sperm. And still got to have that mother, though. And because I believe in the 13th Amendment, because I don't think we can force people to use their bodies in ways they don't want to, the 13th Amendment prohibits slavery. I don't think we can force a woman to have a child she doesn't want to have. And all you pro-lifers out there who truly believe that destruction of when egg meets sperm, destruction of that cells, that's murder, how come you haven't implanted the hundreds of thousands of eggs meeting sperm embryos that are frozen in fertility clinics? How come you haven't advocated laws to forcibly implant them in women? Here's the deal. If you lose a child because you're negligent, you don't feed that child, that's considered murder in America. But if you have a miscarriage because you weren't careful and went and played tennis even though you were pregnant, no punishment. I think we understand there's a difference between a fetus and a child. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Another caller from Massachusetts, David on line 5. Hey, David, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
Great. Well, I'm for life.
Okay.
I took your challenge to call.
Thank you. I'm glad you did.
And the reason I called, is you seem like a very even-keeled person who's willing to listen for more than 2 seconds without stabbing me in the head.
I try to be. It's not about you. Go ahead. Make your point. David? Oh, no, it's just right here, David's point. David, are you still there? I did not hang up on David, for the record. I did not hang up on David. David, if you can hear my voice, please call back. 888-488-MARK. Did we lose David? I'm so sorry. I did not want to lose David. 888-488-MARK. Call back in, David. I promise I'll give you as much time as we have. Let's go to Maria in New Mexico, line 1. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Mark. I guess my thing is I consider myself pro-life, but not the typical, I think women need to be put in jail, and I think that if anything, it's better that we just don't have abortions by educating people about birth control and...
Okay. Well, so you would encourage women not to have abortions but not prohibit them.
Right.
I'm fine with
that. And the thing is, I do believe that it's a life. I genuinely do. And I don't know if it's... I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I don't have any... way to prove it. I mean, obviously, nobody really does.
But do you understand, Maria, that it's a life that cannot live on its own, that requires a woman, that you must take over a woman's body in order to make that life a life, and if the woman doesn't want her body to be taken over in that way, that should be her choice. It's her body.
Yeah, I mean, let me explain a little bit of my background.
Okay.
I had multiple miscarriages.
Okay.
And so when I ended up getting pregnant, I went to this specialist, and they were doing an ultrasound when I was like 5 weeks pregnant.
Okay.
And I was able to see the heartbeat on the ultrasound because it was that detailed.
Right.
And I guess that on top of I was brought up a traditional Catholic, and I this just sounds so ironic, but I ended up having an abortion years after I had had all those miscarriages, and it just, I can't even tell you the emotional scar that I carry.
Okay.
And if anything, I would never make abortion illegal, but I think that women should have intense counseling before, not just like an hour before, but, you know, somebody who really sits down with them and doesn't justify it, but it really hears what their reason for wanting an abortion is, because I regret it every day.
I hear you. And I want to be clear here. I have no problem, Maria, with your encouraging women not to have abortions. And, you know, we all make life decisions that we regret. And you clearly regret yours. And I can hear your pain. And I feel bad about that. My point is that I don't want the government forcing women to do with their bodies what they don't want to do. And some women, particularly women in poverty, feel like they have no choice but to have an abortion, and I want to keep that option open for them. Thank you for your call. I do want to just, I'm sorry to hang up on you, but I want to get back to David from Massachusetts, because I hate that he got cut off and he's back on the line with us. So thank you very much for your call, Maria. I really appreciate it. David, you've got the floor.
All right. Thanks for taking my call, Mark. Appreciate
sure.
it. You seem like an even-keeled person who's not going to scream at me for my opinions.
I will not scream at you,
I
promise.
Call in, but you... No, and I appreciate all the arguments put forth by the pro-abortion side, but I've been a pro-lifer since I was about 10, and just the fact that this is a human being, to me, seems that it should afford itself special consideration. And for someone to say, and I understand a woman's right to choose her body and do what she wants with, so if you want, you know, plastic surgery, if you want liposuction, if you want makeup or makeover, go right ahead. But to me, I feel that that's a separate human being that's been created in the natural process, therefore should be afforded special consideration, not just being at the whim of the person who's holding it, albeit giving it nutrients and a place to grow, cannot willy-nilly, so to speak, just decide, I want to kill this innocent human
David,
being.
David, let me ask you a few questions. Unfortunately, we only have a couple minutes left, so I'm going to ask you to try to keep your answers brief. We can continue this discussion at another time if you feel I haven't given you enough time. The hour's going to run out soon. How do you feel about the frozen embryos, the hundreds of thousands of them that are stored in fertility clinics? Should it be illegal to dispose of those?
What are they? I'm sorry.
Frozen embryos.
Embryos, okay.
They're
I don't know. I don't know.
That's a tough question, isn't it?
I don't know.
Okay. No, it's fair. It's a fair, and I'm glad you said I don't know, because that's a very honest, reasonable saying. I just don't know. It's a tough moral question. Let me ask you another moral question. You got a 16-year-old. She's got Parkinson's disease, and she shakes, and it's going to make her life shorter, and she's going to have a miserable neuromuscular life. She can take a pill derived from fetal tissue that helps stop the Parkinson's disease. Would you say that it's better that the woman who's already had the abortion, that the fetal tissue be destroyed, or is it okay to make medicine that can help this 16-year-old's life be much better?
I feel as though, and I'm not a theologian.
No,
you're
David.
Life.
So
I don't feel it should be.
So you could tell a 16-year-old, I'm sorry that she has to suffer rather than use. You know what? It's a tough issue. It's a tough issue, and I'm afraid we're out of time. But I'll tell you what, David. Tomorrow I'm going to have a wonderful debate on a different issue. But if you still want to call in on Thursday, we can continue this discussion because I want to. Oh no, today's Monday. You can call tomorrow. Call me tomorrow. This is Mark Levine. I'll be on the air tomorrow. Talk to you then.